Hello, welcome to Who is in the Garden here on Carib Voice Radio. It's time to take a moment to pause, breathe, and refresh with Adeayo. So why don't you take a seat, have a drink before you continue on life's journey. Hello, hello, hello. How are you? How has your week been? What's happened to you? How much have you improved? How many decisions have you made to make your life a lot easier, to make your life a lot better? How much drama have you avoided? How much personal development have you engaged in? Have you uprooted the weeds in your garden? Have you made better choices? And if you've made a couple of mistakes during the week, it's okay. It's okay as long as there is life and you are listening to me this morning. Why not? You can always, you know, start again. Like I would always say, whenever you choose to start, that's your January. Whenever you choose to start, that's your Genesis. As long as the trumpet hasn't sounded and Jesus hasn't returned, oh, you still have plenty of time to do what you need to do. But like I always say, do not take time for granted. Time lost, except by divine intervention, cannot be restored. But I am going to touch on that a little. Because here is a woman, the woman with the alabaster box, and her story strikes me today, and I want us to touch on that a little bit. And I'm just going to glaze over it, and hopefully the Holy Spirit will breathe over it for you, and you will begin to bring out some flesh from it. Okay, so there was this woman, and I'm taking this from Matthew 26. Jesus was at Bethany. He was in Bethany at the house of Simon, and a man who had, and Simon was a man who had previously had leprosy that Jesus had healed. And while he was eating, a woman came in with a beautiful alabaster box, alabaster jar of expensive perfume, and poured it over his head. You see, that was just one act. The disciples were indignant when they saw this. What a waste, they said. It could have been sold for a high price and money given to the poor. Another account says it was Judas that made that remark. And of course, we know why Judas made that remark. That's another thing for another day. But Jesus, aware of this, replied, Why criticize this woman for doing such a good thing to me? Okay, another account says that Jesus was in the house of the Pharisee, and the Pharisee was thinking in his heart, okay? And then Jesus, hearing his thoughts, okay? You see, there are so many people around you, so many people around you who have their thoughts, their perceptions on what you should be doing and what you should not be doing. People have an interpretation and an opinion on what you should be doing and what you shouldn't be doing. They think they have the right, you know, to determine what your life should be like. But, you know, Jesus had other plans. Jesus had other plans. Okay, I want us to look at that account from I think it should be Luke. Yeah, I think I should go to Luke instead. Luke 7, verse 37. I just want to encourage somebody today. Okay, and it says one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to have dinner with him. So Jesus went to his home and sat down to eat. When a certain immoral woman from that city, so it was obvious, it was plain, she was immoral. She was bad. She was what we call a baddie. Okay, she was bad. She was immoral. She was promiscuous. From that, and she heard that Jesus was there and he was eating. And so she brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. Then she knelt down behind him at his feet. She wasn't bold enough to even come before him. She knelt down behind him at his feet and she was weeping. Her tears fell on his feet and she wiped them off with her hair. Then she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. Now, this was a woman who had been immoral. sexual immorality, most likely, whatever the case was, this was a woman who was familiar with immorality. She was familiar with promiscuity. She was familiar with being used by men. That was her turf. That was her terrain. Like, it wasn't new to her to be seductive. It wasn't new to her to be, you know, it wasn't strange to her. But you see, that's how she came. She didn't know any other way to come to Jesus. She came just the way she was. She came with her tactics. She came with her strategy. She came with her expertise as of immorality. She came with that, but she came with an innocent heart. She came understanding that she was a mess. She came understanding that her life was immoral, her life was impure, but she was willing to bring herself to Jesus just the way she was. You see, Jesus is not waiting for you to be perfect before you come to him. If you were perfect, then there would be no need for you to come to him. I have looked back. I've been doing a lot of reflection recently for quite a while, and more recently it's becoming stronger, because when I look at how far I've come and how far God has brought me and the things I have done and the things I've been involved in, like I had a speaking engagement on Saturday, and it was about prevention and sexual abuse, and it occurred to me while I was preparing that sometimes the victim becomes the seeker of abuse. Now, we don't know under what circumstances this woman decided or became immoral. We don't know what pushed her to being that person that had been tagged immoral. You see, but she came, and I've looked at my life recently and I'm wondering, how did I get here? I was messed up. I was a victim who became the seeker. I was a victim who became comfortable and used to being abused. It became normal until a point it didn't become normal anymore. Until the point I came to Jesus and I said, come on, we need to get it right. And the only way I knew how to love Jesus was to love him totally. Totally. I am a lover. Totally. I will pour my heart out on Jesus just the way I would have done if I was with a physical person. And that's what this woman did. She was termed immoral, but it didn't matter to her. She came. She came with a perfume of alabaster box. And I don't want to go all over here, but you know what it's like when you want to meet with a person, with a partner. You deck up the whole room. You have the perfumes, the flowers, and all that. And she came with a very expensive perfume. Very expensive alabaster box. Contained expensive perfume, and she knelt down behind him and she began to cry. She allowed herself to break down. She allowed herself to be human. She allowed herself to express sincerity of how messed up she was. She didn't know how else to come to Jesus. You know what else to say to him. But you see, that posture is the posture of prayer. That posture is the posture of submission. That posture is the posture of total yieldedness to Jesus. And that was exactly what she did. She was used to men taking advantage of her. She was used to men abusing her. She was used to men using her. But she came. That's the only language she understood, sensuality. And she came just as she was to Jesus. And did people have something to say about it? Of course they did. Of course they did. The Pharisee who had invited him saw this and he said to himself, if this were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. She's a sinner. Sweetheart, has the world termed you a sinner? You're just the person that Jesus wants. You're just the person I want to talk with. Has the world termed you promiscuous? Has the world termed you insatiable? Has the world termed you whatever the term that has been used against you? Whatever the term that has been flung over, whatever tag has been given and labeled you with, you are the person I'm talking to. Do you feel ridiculed, down, dejected? Do you feel like you've had so many abortions and there's nothing you can? You feel worthless. Have you done some stuff that you're not even able to tell people? You are the one I'm talking to. You're the one that Jesus needs. You're the one that Jesus wants to talk to. You're the one that Jesus wants to love upon. Come as you are. He's not going to send you away. I will be the last person to send anyone away. Oh, that when I tell you the story of my background, there are people I would be the, I'm the last person. Remember the woman that was caught in adultery? And they came to her, they came to Jesus with her. The man was nowhere to be found. But they brought the woman, they dragged her to Jesus, and they were going to stone her to death. And Jesus went on the ground and began to scribble. He began to write. From dust she came, yeah? From dust she will return. Yes, I am going to be crucified. My body is going to be broken. I'm going to go down into this earth. Oh, Jesus, we're going to say the transgressions are on my body, no longer on her. Where is this? And he began to write. He said, whoever is without sin, go ahead, cast the first stone. But you see, those were not just natural words. Those were an indictment. And everyone was convicted of his or her own sin. Who are you to judge another man's servant before his maker? He alone will stand. And everyone, one by one, dropped their stones and walked away. And Jesus asked this beautiful daughter of Zion, if there is anyone around, anybody here yet? And they said, no one. Said, then I will not condemn you. Then I do not judge you. Because even though Jesus was 100% God, he was also 100% man. And Jesus didn't come to condemn us. He didn't come to condemn us. He came to save us. He came to deliver us. He came to show us the way. He came to show that it's possible to live on this earth and live a life of purity. And when the Pharisees who had invited him heard that, then Jesus answered his thoughts. You see, Simon was a leper who had been healed. I think he had forgotten the fact that he was once a leper and was once also impure and shouldn't have been touched. It's so amazing how people forget where they've come from and they begin to turn their noses down on people. Simon forgot. Simon the leper forgot. Simon the Pharisee forgot how much grace he had received, how much love he had been shown. He forgot. And then he looked down on her. But Jesus answered his thoughts. He was still thinking. Jesus said, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he told him the story. See, a man loaned money to two people, 500 pieces of silver to one and 50 pieces of silver to the other. But neither of them could repay him. So he kindly forgave them both, canceling their debts. I want to stop there. But neither of them could repay him. So he forgave them both, canceling their debt. Do you realize that whatever it is you're owing against God has been canceled? Don't you see that there is now no condemnation the moment you come into Christ Jesus? Don't you see that the more messed up you've been, the more debt you had incurred and he had paid them all? You see, the statement according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, it's limitless. It includes the forgiveness of your sins. It's not just about money. It's about the debt that you needed to pay. It's about the debt of the messes and the mistakes and the errors that you had incurred and that you needed to pay them. But you see, you couldn't pay them. That was why he died. He paid the ultimate price. So the beautiful part about this is there's nothing you can do, will do, have done that the death of Jesus has not already taken care of. The debt has been canceled. past, present, future. But you see, you need to come to this understanding and you need to come into Him. Yes, into Him. And he asked him, don't you, but neither of them could pay. So he kindly forgave them both. There's no, you can't pay it. See, you can't pay it. I was sharing some things that, on Saturday when I was talking to the facilitators, the trainer conference. I had to speak to a small room of people who were going to talking about sexual abuse. And I had to make them understand that, see, people, you can't pay the debt. It's impossible. But that debt has been cancelled. Jesus has forgiven. God has forgiven. The debt has been cancelled. The moment you come to Jesus, you appropriate that debt cancellation. Okay? You see? So who do you suppose, and then Jesus went on to say, who do you suppose loved him more after that? And people wonder why I am the way I am. People wonder why my life is focused and totally sold out to Jesus. Because he has done some great debt cancellation for me. If I was born in Old Testament days, I would have been killed. Like, I would have been termed unclean for the rest of my life. Do you see? There's so much that Jesus has done for me. Both times I was on the way to being kidnapped. One, as a baby, I was on the way to being kidnapped. I'd already left my house. As in, the lady who was my nanny had already taken me while my grandma was asleep, and I was already going on the way to being kidnapped, literally. But God brought another old woman to say, why is this girl outside today? Who took her out? Why is she out? I needed to cross-check what the story was and brought me back home to check. I would have been gone. I would have been gone. Secondary school, the same thing. I would have been gone. I could have been kidnapped and dropped by the roadside decades ago, and no one will know I even existed. No one will even know where to find me. So many debts cancelled. So much mercy over my life. That's why I can love upon him and live my life for him, because where would I have been if not for this Jesus? And I'm here to tell you, there's nothing that you can do that can ruffle the feathers of Jesus. There's nothing that you can do or that you've done that can unsettle Jesus. There is nothing. I say that again. There is nothing you can do that can ruffle, that can unsettle Jesus. There's nothing. He just needs you to come to him and tell him, I can't pay this debt. I know you have paid this debt for me. I receive my debt cancellation. I live my life like as my debts have been paid. That's all Jesus is asking of you. That's all. You murdered someone? Come on. Moses was a killer. You gave up on your dreams? Come on. Elijah said he was tired. He wanted to die. Get somebody else to do the job. You've committed idolatry. Aaron built a golden calf. The entire children of Israel followed Baal. God didn't kill them. God killed the 400 prophets of Baal. Imagine a nation that God saved over and over and over and over again. Keep going back to sin, going back to idolatry, going back to being messed up. But God always, even when he blazed out in anger at them, he said, I will always leave a remnant. If God could do that then in the Old Testament, what do you think he's doing right now? You can't pay this debt. You can try to do it on your own. You can try, but you will not succeed. It's going to be an effort in futility. How long are you going to go around this mountain? How long? How long are you going to try to make a point? How long are you going to try to prove a point? How long are you going to try to be all macho? Nah, come on. He said, but neither of them could repay him, so he kindly forgave them both, canceling their debt. And he asked Simon, who do you suppose loved him more after that? You see, Simon was saved, was healed of leprosy. Major. But this woman, knew that the odds were against her, and she came all the way. And Simon answered, I suppose the one for whom he canceled the ladder, that you suppose? That's an arrogance there, Simon. You suppose? Of course it's the one whose debt was higher. And Jesus said, that's right. And he turned to the woman. But first he looked at Simon. He said, this woman kneeling here, you see, the woman was still kneeling down. Like, she was totally down. And she said, Simon, I entered your house. Let me show you how arrogant you are, Simon. Let me show you how, I think arrogance would be the word, you are. He says, when I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust from my feet. But she has washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the moment I first came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she has anointed my feet with rare perfume. You see, those of us who God has delivered from a lot, our responses are different. We may not know protocol, but we know love. We may not know protocol, may not have protocol, but we've got passion. We've got passion. And I know you have that passion. But you think he won't accept you just the way you are. Of course he will. And Jesus said, I tell you, of a certainty, yo, of a surety, like her sins. There are many. Jesus acknowledged that. You see, there are her sins. You see those her sins? Them plenty. There are many. But they have been forgiven. Look, Jesus is talking here today. He knows your sins are many. He knows you committed that secret abortion. He knows you secretly took that stuff. He knows you murdered that person. He knows you lied about that stuff. He knows you did this. He knows your sins are many. He knows. But he's saying to you today, they are all forgiven. The debt is canceled. Wow. That's so beautiful. You see, every time the devil comes to try and taunt me and, you know, and make me feel like less of who I am, make me feel like an imposter, I just tell myself, my sins, though they are many, they are forgiven. The debt has been canceled. It's not held over me anymore. The debt has been canceled. It says, so she has shown me much love, but a person who is forgiving little shows only little love. Then Jesus looked at the woman and said, Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Will you have faith today? In the certainty that your sins are forgiven, no matter how many they are? Would you have faith today in the character of Jesus? Will you have faith today in the integrity of Jesus, that when he says he has canceled your debt, indeed he has canceled them? When he says your sins are forgiven, indeed your sins are forgiven, and they are never, ever held against you again. Can you let your faith save you today? Can you come to Jesus? Can you just open up your heart and come to him and say, Father, thank you. Jesus, thank you for choosing and accepting to go on the cross for me. Thank you for giving your life for me. Thank you for laying it down. Thank you because I see that that your death was you paying the price for my sins. Your death was you canceling all my debt. I am free. I owe the devil nothing. Nothing stands against me. Nothing is held over my head. The banner over my head is not death. No. The banner over my head is freedom. The banner over my head is love. The banner over my head is freedom. The banner over my head is deliverance. The banner over my head is healing. And I thank you and I accept you, Jesus. Help me to walk closely with you. Help me to walk in this peace that you have left with me. Thank you. I receive your peace to flood my heart, and I walk in the consciousness and the understanding of this peace. If you said that today, woo, I am rejoicing with you, and heaven is also rejoicing with you. Oh, reach out to me. Send me an email. Send me a message. Let's talk. Let's chat. You're now my brother. You're now my sister. You're now my comrade. You're now my brethren, and I love you. I love you so much, because we who the Lord has shown great mercy, we're going to love upon him like never before. So send me a message. Reach out to me. Remember, take care of your garden, because God loves you. I love you. I love you. But you see, God loves you more. So I see you next week. Stay blessed. Bye.